Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. Another really big week of footy, and a lot of footy's coming our way, actually. It feels like every single day there's something new coming up. But as usual, going to start with a question for the week. I actually forgot to say mine last week, but wasn't that good anyway. But I'll give you one this week. So AFL Academy is our first talking point.
Yep.
And I was a bit close in the last quarter, and I asked a question to you. So if the Academy win, what do they send in the team song? I said the Australian National Anthem, which would be quite funny, but what would they sing?
I'd like to hear them sing something to the tune of the GWS theme song. It's a big, big sound from the south of the world. It's the sound of the mighty Aussies. Maybe that's a task for next fortnight's podcast. If the AFL Academy beat Footscray, I will write some song lyrics that incorporate the names of some of the best players on the day to the tune of a Eminem Lose Yourself or a Mr. Brightside The Killers or something like that, and we'll sing it on the podcast in 2 weeks, but on the proviso that the AFL Academy get up against Footscray. So there's the extra incentive.
What's the Wilson in this? I will not embarrass myself publicly. I couldn't do it. Your question.
Why have I just agreed to that? My question is, people who know me know that in talent league games or in any footy games at all, if a player takes some intercept marks early, then I'm going to count their intercept marks for the rest of the game. Based on that, if you could add one stat to the Coates Talent League app, what stat would you be adding and why?
Well, I only found out a couple of weeks ago. The sample have clearances.
Yep.
That's one. Well, that or contested possessions.
Yep.
Those are my two. Like, I'll definitely rate a player based off one of those two stats. Clearances, I think, is only really good for the mids, but it gives you a bit more depth with their actual performance.
Because you just what sort of midfielder they are, and
bit of guesswork some of the time. And then contested possessions, you just like to figure out which ones are hard at the ball and which ones might not be as much. Not that it always tells you.
I'll say intercept possessions. I want the defenders to get a bit more love, and they probably don't have any stats at the moment that reflect them. Maybe rebound 50s, you could argue, for halfbacks. But let's get into the podcast, because like you said, there was plenty of good footy on the weekend. It started on Saturday at Icon Park with the AFL Academy taking on Coburg, and it was a really interesting hit out. The AFL Academy did get close, but Coburg ultimately got the chocolates in the end in that one. But it was a very offensive game, as those sort of showpiece events all are, and plenty of players were able to show what they could do. So we're going to go through all the Coates League listed players and give a ranking of their game, either superior, A, B or C, based on their performance on the day. And we're just going to go through in number order. So we'll start with Levi Ashcroft. I'll ask you what your ranking is and your justification briefly.
Worked himself into the game, but typical, gets his hands on the footy, uses it pretty well most of the day. I'd have to have him in the A category.
Yep.
I think didn't do enough for Ron to put him in the B, but he also wasn't the standout of the day, but adapted to that physicality pretty well, I thought, so he sits in my A.
Yeah, played his natural game and wasn't overawed, so I had him in my A category as well. Sam Marshall I've got as a B. I thought he worked really hard, but didn't necessarily find a lot of the footy.
Yeah, the work rate was something that stood out for me as well. Probably didn't get rewarded with it as much as he should have. And I think hopefully he plays again for the Academy in their next game. But I'd have to agree. He was in a B.
Yep. Ricky Mentha I've got as a B. I thought he worked hard up the ground a couple of times. Obviously had a couple of those really nice moments inside 50 as well. Kicked that goal.
Yeah, showcased a few speedy moments and kicked his, you know, Ricky Mentha goal of the day. I think we might have a few similar answers here. I'd have to say a B.
Yeah.
It's hard with his position, you know, can't always be that productive, but B.
Christian Moraes I've got as a B, possibly a little bit below those other players, but that's just because he sets such a high benchmark for himself. I thought at times he tried to burst through tackles, which at under 18s level he would have been able to do, but then the physicality of the Coburg players sort of wrapped him up, and he was caught holding the ball a couple of times or he was under pressure. But certainly when he got it on the outside, he was still able to have an impact and was prominent in terms of getting his hands on the footy.
Yeah, well, he got bashed and bruised a few times. It was a C in my opinion, but that is because of the standards he sets himself. And I think that is a great learning experience that game for him, because he definitely was challenged physicality-wise. That similar mindset of kind of understanding where the ball was going to go and what kind of plays were going to happen probably wasn't the same as what he was expecting at 18s level. And I think that was a bit of a change, but I do think he adapted well at times. He definitely got into it a little more as the game went on, but yeah, I'm sure he'll want to bounce back pretty well. And I'm sure he will.
Certainly. Jagger Smith.
Yeah. Good. Yep. Good. I'd still, whether he's in the A category, I'd just have him as B. Yep. Seems like his productivity was a little less than usual and had a few ineffective touches, but at the same time was still able to show that real agile frame of his that can move around bigger bodies and still, yeah, B.
Yeah, echo that sentiment. Probably a victim of his own high standards as well, as we talked about with Christian Moraes. Jaden Ewan was one who was under pressure a fair bit in the back line. Whether that was his own fault or not, I guess you can debate, but he was a late inclusion, and we know he's put some size on in the preseason. Yep. Probably still wasn't quite, from a size point of view, able to match it at times with the senior bodies. I would have given him a C.
Yeah, it wasn't Jaden's day, let's be completely honest. It was a C. I'm going to be more harsh than you.
Yep.
It was a C. I think it was hard for him given the fact got in late,
yep.
Had probably no idea really what was kind of going to come at him in terms of structurally or anything. So I think he did his best, but it just wasn't happening.
Other thing I'll add from a Jaden Ewan perspective in his defence is it was very hard when Coburg moved the ball from D50 and slingshot it out the back.
They walked it in.
Yeah, absolutely, and he was often caught a bit deeper.
I don't even think we said Coburg won this by 27 points. So.
Yep.
Yeah, they got their first win under
Jamie Cassidy McNamara as coach. Yeah, if you want to count that as an official win. Tom Gross, I've got as a B. I thought he tried hard. He always tries hard and showed some power at times.
I'd have him between a B and a C. Probably thought he just blazed away a bit too often in the forward 50, and that was what let him down, because I thought he could have had a bit more of an impact than what he did. But to say that the shots he had were stupid, they weren't. It was just, a split second more and he probably makes a better decision in those.
Maybe didn't have the composure that he usually does at under 18s level. Yeah, that's possibly a fair appraisal. I've got Harvey Langford as being an A. I thought he was really productive and poised as a half forward. So you talk about that from Tom Gross. I thought Harvey Langford was outstanding in that component of his game and got some midfield minutes as well. I really liked what I saw from him.
To have him as an A as well. Had a really nice finish on the run from 35.
Yeah.
I think it was in the first half from memory.
Yep.
Just great vision moving inside 50.
Definitely.
Lowers his eyes well. He's had a really terrific start to the season. I think that reflected.
Yep. Noah Meraz, I've got as a C, and like we said, it was very hard. He's a raw developing key defender, and we know what he can do at under 18s level, but very difficult when he's one-on-one and, they're getting entries really quickly because they're slingshotting out the back. But a toughish day for Noah Meraz. He obviously, had the tough task down back.
Yeah, I'd agree. So won't add to that.
Harry O'Farrell, pretty similar. I thought he did distribute it pretty well when he did get it, but unfortunately, it was another one that, as a key defender playing against more seasoned forwards, was a little bit difficult. He did have a nice moment in the first quarter, but I'll give him a C.
He had a nice moment in the first. It was the first play and then the last, I reckon one of his last plays as well. So at least he started and ended on a good note.
Yeah.
I think the question we asked was, who's taking Rory Lobb against Footscray?
Because
you're taking 200 centimetres against, I don't know what Hoff is, but he'd be at least, it's probably 193, 194.
He's not only 200, Rory Lobb, either. He's 207, I think.
Is he?
He's more than 200.
I feel like that'll just be a nightmare for
maybe,
whoever takes him.
Maybe Rory Lobb needs to kick 7 goals this week for the Dogs and get back into the AFL side. Job Shanahan, I've got him as a C. He took a couple of marks, kicked a goal, laid a tackle. I suppose I just love watching him and I've got high expectations for him. So maybe he could sneak a B, but I really like him. I'm going to give him a C.
Look, as one of them that had a few more notes than the others on the page, I'd give him a B. And I don't have much to add, but his tackle pressure stood up. He won holding the ball for a kick, I think.
Which got him a goal.
Yeah, not really his way of kind of finding goals. So good to see that. And clean hands, B.
Josh Smiley.
Oh, look, he'd be wanting to take back that moment he had in the third where he kind of lost his cool.
Yeah, gave away a 50-metre penalty.
Wasn't the best, and probably
let the game get away from them. It got out to 36 points and I think they were able to then get it back to 18 or 12, but you sort of felt like if they were able to get it back to a single kick, which they weren't far away from doing, maybe they didn't concede that 50-metre penalty. Who knows? It was a bit of a sliding doors moment. He's the biggest an A or a B for me. I'll probably lean just towards a B. Again, victim of his own high standards, but did show his power at times.
I'd still have him as an A in terms of you compare him to the rest. Didn't really see him out of place at all. And
no, he didn't.
That usual bullish nature of him to just find the footy and work himself through a pack. So I'd whilst you lean on a B, I'll probably just lean on an A. But he sits probably between that, given that.
Luke Traynor is the first that I'm going to give an S to, a superior. His intercepting was outstanding. He was tough against the bigger bodies. He was the defender who stood up all day when everyone else was wanting to show their run and gun and get higher up the ground and have their lick of the ice cream. He was willing to sit back and take those intercepts and also distribute it really well.
Yeah, he's an S as well. Every note I have says great defensive something. It was a spoil, mark, a kick. Just had it all pressure, so he's an S as well.
Taj Houghton was an S for me. I feel like he's improved week on week as the season's gone on, and he's really becoming a really bona fide part of the Coates Talent League. He was one who came into it as the game developed. His last quarter almost dragged his team back into it.
Yeah, he has. I'll still stick with... No, he's an S. He's an S. Because I said originally he was an A because didn't do anything in the first quarter, so... But... You know, no one did anything for four quarters in terms of a four-quarter performance. So I think if you did three out of four quarters top-notch, you're in the ST here, and he does fall into that. Yeah, he was just got into it really well, a few real good pressure moments, and just a Taj game, like that prototype Taj football.
Taj Houghton was the late inclusion, as too was Toby Trevallia, and I'm giving him an S as well. I thought the defensive stuff that he did was outstanding. You always talk about in these games what they're able to do with the footy in hand, and that's certainly something you associate with Toby Trevallia. But on this occasion, I thought 10 of his best things that he did was actually defensive, whether that was a big spoil. In the last quarter, it looked like Coburg for all money were going to kick a goal. Toby Trevallia, a massive effort on the goal line.
Yeah.
So many of those moments, I was really impressed with what he was willing to do, what he was able to do. His closing speed was really good as well. And yeah, really competitive, really courageous aerially as well.
I mean, his body work was really good as well. He's very unassuming for his size. You don't expect him to be as physical as he is. And he really does bring that physicality, wins his footy and moves it out really nicely. A few cross vision kicking where he just kind of moves it on a different angle. And I like that element about him. So an S.
Ollie Dean, I'm giving a C, but it's always a tough task coming up against a seasoned VFL ruck, and you're still a raw, developing, young 17, 18-year-old. But, yeah, it would have been a great learning experience for the Tasmanian.
Yeah, myriad thoughts on that, C.
Jack Whitlock, I'm giving an A. I thought he was really good aerially, created a contest every time the ball went up forward towards him, took a really nice mark on the goal line, kicked a couple of goals, and, yeah, really took his opportunities well. Another one who came in late and, yeah, really capitalised on what was given to him.
You literally copied. I must have the exact same notes there, so I'm not going to add anything, but, no.
No, very good. So that's the AFL Academy game summarised. Then on Sunday, we had the Vic Metro versus Vic Country Trials. And stay tuned, we will talk about the girls round as well. There was some big results there and some players who really stood up. But we will go to the trial games firstly, and we'll start with the first trial game, and we'll just run through some of the stronger performers. Vic Country versus Vic Metro, obviously this will go some way to determining the final squad and is a great showpiece event for players to show their weapons. I'll start with River Stevens, a father-son prospect. He's out of the Geelong Falcons, kicked a couple of goals, and I thought he was quite crafty.
Pushed further up the ground as well, showed that other element of his game that he's been able to show for the Falcons early in the season. So pretty productive. I don't know if we say whether we think they'll make it or not. It's hard to say, but you'd say he's definitely put his best foot forward in that performance.
Ollie Hannaford was poised.
Yeah, didn't really get a whole heap of it, which was a shame. But it's his off ball things. I think he does so well that you don't need to actually have him with the ball, and it's a benefit when he does touch it. It's just his pressure is very, very good. You notice the way he tackles is with such intent, doesn't give away free kicks. A really, really poised player around the ground and disciplined as well. So, yeah, liked what he did without the ball.
Absolutely. One who I really liked, particularly in the first half of his game, was Noah Tulio, and particularly I've watched him now 2 weeks in a row. That cleanliness, that ability to pick up a ground ball at full speed is something which really takes my eye. He's a quick decision maker as well, which is a big part of the way he plays. He's very small, so he does have to have that ability at ground level. I thought he showed that.
Yeah, his composure was really good as well. His inside 50 vision was hitting forwards, lace out, but he's quick. He's silky, he's evasive, and that's something that probably will get you picked in a team like this, that extra element that not many players do have, that ability to see the ground, you know, at such a kind of low height when you're moving around the ground. So he was happy with his game.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the best game I've seen Ollie Warburton play. And I've seen him play some really good games, and perhaps I haven't seen Murray as much as some of the other Vic Country teams in the last 12 months. But I thought, you know, he's a ball magnet. He's always a ball magnet. He's always clean. But I thought his work ethic was really good. And what he did really well was he brought his teammates into it and had that breakaway speed as well. So I thought it was a complete midfielder's performance from him.
Yeah, he's one that I'll never have a note on because of how efficient he is. He just does what he's meant to do each week, and he's clean. He's very productive and gets the ball moving. He executes his role so well that there's anything he does is never like extraordinary. It's just so well drilled in his system. So yeah, I'll take your word that it was the best game you've seen from him for sure.
I'll run through a few and then I'll get your thoughts on whoever you want to sort of jump in on. But Max Donoghue, I thought, ran his wing lanes pretty well. Wasn't always utilised as much as he could have been. Jack O was reasonably quiet, but it was good to see him get some midfield minutes and show his stoppage craft at times. Willem Dersma was always classy and reads it well. And Noah Hibbins-Hargreaves was brave as a half forward, went back and kicked a nice goal from 50.
I'll speak on Zach McGuinness, who had a pretty quiet first 3 weeks, but internally they were very the Falcons coaching team were very impressed with the way he went about it in terms of his ability to push up the ground, win some one-on-ones and be that threat. But he didn't really do that in this game. He was back to what he was doing last year as that real key forward, and he kicked 4 goals from it. So a lot to like there. Jesse Dettoli, similar in that vein, that obviously not the same player, but just a terrific work rate. He was kicking goals kind of just from that strong body work, got himself in great positions. And I still haven't seen another player who you don't actually realize is inside 50 till he has the ball, because he just sneaks up on you and makes an impact. So there's 2 for me.
Yeah, we'll get back to some of the Vic Metro players in a second. I thought Archie Watt is one from the Vic Country side of things that we really have to touch on. His work rate and his inside work is something that's always going to be noticed just with the size that he has got. But I thought his breakaway speed was something which I noticed. Those first few steps was really impressive from him, and he got more of the ball than he's got in the first 3 or 4 weeks for the Bendigo Pioneers. So that was really good to see.
Yeah, for sure. Love the way he went about it. And who should I talk about next? Do you want to talk about Cohen Paul?
Yeah, we'll talk about Cohen Paul. I did like his game. I was glad he got some inside midfield minutes. He also played on the wing and does have that power. You do see that size. He's able to use that strength well. Just probably has to finish his work off a little bit better, but I still thought he showed enough there. Ben wronged it with silky and pretty good overhead. And then I guess a couple of others worth touching on. Floyd Burmeister found space inside 50, and then a couple of bottom ages, or probably one in particular in Job Scape. And I thought I really enjoyed his defensive efforts. But that's probably all from me on the Vic Country end of things.
We're going to more Metro.
We'll go to the Metro players in this game now. We'll start with Tyson Gresham. I thought he was really elusive on the wing, and I really liked his game. Obviously pretty small, so got some development left in him.
Yeah, he's quick. He was playing last year in the last couple of weeks for Northern as a 16-year-old, but used it really well when he had it, I thought. So lot to like. He's got a lot of upside.
Josh Dolan, you've always been high on, and I've been high on since preseason as well, but his decision-making and his ability to assess his options and make it a decision in a split second was on show. I thought his forward craft and ability to draw teammates to where he wanted them to be inside 50 was a real feature of his game.
I reckon his kilometres would be real right up there with, you know, top 3 or 5 in the game, or even at Sandy as well. His work rate is what stands out to me, because he probably didn't even have that much of the ball, especially in that first half. I thought he came into it as the game went on, but his ability to keep running, that goal kick, that inside 50 vision is just elite for him as well when he pushes up.
Oh, absolutely. Lucas McInerney, we've talked a lot about, so we won't spend too much time on him, but I thought he showed his elite IQ again and you know, held his width really well on the wing. Another one who I thought did some nice things was Luke Kennedy from the Sandy Dragons, had a bit of it and showed his ability on the outside.
Another one from the Sandy Dragons, Bailey McKenzie, who I know you've been quite big on, but I really liked his second half especially. I thought he got into it so well. His offensive run in and his offensive capability to find the right spots inside forward 50 really stood out to me. Presented really well at times as well. Nice. Not sure how many goals he kicked in the end, but he would have at least got on the end of two, maybe three. So, yeah, here's another Dragon.
And now some of the players who were probably the better ones in this game. We'll start with Luca Grego. And, yep. Yeah, he's had a good, solid first couple of weeks for Western, but he took it to a whole new level. And I said this is the best I've seen Ollie Warburton play. It's also the best I've seen Luca Grego play. And I say that without any form of hesitation. It wasn't just the toughness and bravery you come to associate with him. I thought it was the poise, his ability to win some clearances and then have some direction on his kicks. He ran some really good lanes. That footy IQ, that ability to understand where to get to the next contest and where he could best be utilised was something that I don't think I've seen from him before. So a great start to his Vic Metro 2024 season.
Yeah, well, this is where he's got to play his best football, let's be honest. I think he probably won't get the supply of talent at the Jets that he will get at this level. And if he's able to show it at Metro level, he's definitely setting himself up for a really positive year ahead. But it was his contest work for me. I thought he won some really difficult balls that were just kind of in the balance, but it would come out into his hands. And yeah, really, I noticed him a lot more in the second half. I probably didn't pick up as much as the first half, but not that he wasn't good. But yeah, really clean. Yeah, it was a top tier Grego performance.
Absolutely. Zach Johnson, another one who always racks up a stack of the footy, but he also won some clearances. I thought his ability to find space, draw teammates into space, and you know, his precise kick was something as well, which is really good. And he's got that speed.
Yeah, he's very tough. Just the way he extracts the ball sometimes. There was one contest I remember, like I don't know what quarter it was, where it was just he just ripped it out. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, he just rips it out and it ended up strength. In a shot on goal. Yeah, like raw strength like that. Gabriel Stumpf is one I think definitely. We should have a quick chat about. Northern boy, got a bit of size to him as a key forward. Well, he was playing pretty key forward role, but he was lively all day inside 50, just kept moving, got his hands on it, presented, moved up a bit high, but it was pretty positive.
Understands his leading lanes well inside 50 and had that really good practice match, I think, against Oakley where he put himself on the map to some degree, and he's been a little bit of a watch ever since, and this is his best performance since then. So it was good to see him do some nice things, took some marks and kicked multiple goals, I think. I'm sure he would have kicked at least two, certainly had multiple shots. One who definitely kicked multiple goals.
Yep.
Keaton Martifi Forbes, he kicked four goals, was a real presence up there. So he's only 189 centimetres. He plays a lot taller than that, but he's got that laser boot. And I thought what was really pleasing was he also had some nice ground level moments.
Yeah, sorry, just adjusting the mic. He capitalised. That's all he needs to do, especially, you know, he's a couple centimetres short to not be that key forward, but he still does it. He still is effective at his height. You know that kick he's got, which I reckon there'll be a time this year he's going to kick like a 60-metre thin that'll get on the socials. That's got to happen with him. But, it was just an opportunistic performance where a few were just out of right spot, right time, but he does know how to get his hands on it in the right spot. So I wonder with him if he makes it. Do you think he makes it?
To the Metro squad?
Yeah.
I think what he did on the weekend will certainly enhance those prospects just because I just question whether he does enough at ground level for his size, but I think he did have a couple of those moments, which is good to say. I'm going to touch on a trio of Oakley Chargers and you can jump in on any of them that you want. Thought Doug Kerr is a strong midfielder forward and had a couple of moments of real strength standing up in tackles, keeping his arms free, which is really nice to see. Zane Cochran is one who sees the game early and you really see that with his ability between the arcs. That's where he played on the weekend and did get some midfield minutes as well, kicked a goal from 50. And Paddy Reshko, we always talk about his work rate, but he was so dangerous on transition. There were three or four times at least where he got two possessions in a chain just with his ability to set a teammate up and then run and get that overlap handball. So his decision-making and you know, that top-end speed, that high-running speed was a real feature of his playing off half-back.
You've summed that well, but it was, Cochran and Reshko, the two, I think their offensive flair really stood out to me, especially Cochran. I don't feel like we've seen as a lot of it this year, but it was good to see him really kind of come out of his shell there, took the game on, had some good defensive moments as well, just knew how to hold back and wait up defensively, but also knew when to take it on. So
was there anyone else from this game that you want to touch on that we haven't yet done?
Nah, keen to move on.
Probably the other one just worth touching on. I thought Liam Callahan had the matchup on Zach MacInnis and fought back well after Zach MacInnis did obviously get that 4-goal first half that we talked so glowingly about because it was such a great start from him. But we will move on to the second game. We'll start with the Country Kids again. And Jasper Auger, a kid that's moved from Gippsland to Oakley this season, still representing Vic Country, kicked 4 goals, but his ability to step through traffic, it was really elusive, clean at ground level, and hit his targets inside 50. It wasn't just the 4 goals. He would have set up another couple, understood where his teammates were inside 50. Obviously, you know, first time playing with this group of players and, yeah, has that vision. So I really liked him. It's the best he's played all season. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, usually in a stacked Oakley lineup, others are overshadowing him. But, yeah, he's got that speed as well.
Yeah, well, I thought another element to his game was his overhead ability. I reckon there was two good overhead marks he took inside 50 within the space of 5 minutes, I think, in that second quarter that really haven't seen to his game yet. And I think if that's something that remains consistent, it's a nice little element to have at his size especially. I was really impressed with him and probably went out of it a little bit in the second half, but to make that impact in just one half footy was pretty good, especially in a game like that. You want to do it pretty quickly. Had 4 goals. I'd noted it here in the 19th minute of the second quarter. That was when he kicked 4. So, you know, in 45 minutes of footy. So pretty impressive.
Harry Charlson's one you've watched a lot of. You've watched a lot more of the Rebels than what I have in the last 12 months. So you've seen his bottom age year. And I thought he finished the game really well, fought it out till the end, which is really good. You like seeing players play out the minutes. And I thought he really did that. That fourth quarter of his was the best, I thought, of what I noticed. What did you think of his game?
He's super accountable. That's what you're going to get from someone like Harry Charlson. He doesn't have a lot of selfish moments where he goes and takes the game on himself and just look to create. Like, it's sort of weighted his moments, and he knows when to take them well. And I think that's what we saw from him again. He's an unselfish rolling half back and knows how to get the job done. So it would be a shame if he misses out, to be honest. I think he's got a lot left to prove as well.
Certainly. Julian Callahan briefly showed the speed that people have been so big on off half back. Colin Ainsworth played on the wing. Liam Kershaw was also slippery on the wing. Harley Hicks is one I want to spend a bit more time talking about. I thought he showed his speed and agility off half forward. And there was a goal that he kicked in the last quarter where he got it moved laterally from a pack, then was able to straighten up and finish from 40. So he's got that polish and finishing ability as well, which he was able to show on the big stage. And, yeah, he's only played one game of Talent League footy. I believe that game out at Ballarat last week was his debut. So, yeah, he's coming in a rush, obviously started in the Vic Country squad.
Yeah, super speedy. Catches your eye straight away. And, yeah, I mean, that goal he had was what I noted in terms of just that moment. He seizes the moment pretty well for that age. So, pretty impressive. I'll give you Will McLaughlin yet again.
Yeah.
Kicks 3 goals. But when I say kicks 3 goals, he just kicks 3 goals. You'd say that to anyone, they'd be like, what do you mean? Well, he just kicked 3 goals. And you'd agree. He just kicked 3 goals.
What else did you do?
He kicked 3 goals, but it's just the way he does it. Like, he just finds a way to get front position. He gets his hands on the footy. He had 2 goals in the 15th minute mark of the first quarter, and he finds a way to kick goals. But and that is everything he needs.
Yeah.
You know what? And especially at a time where he's being looked at for a mid-season draft spot. All you need to do is kick goals as a forward. Yeah. That is your role. It's not like he doesn't do anything else. It's just he's so good at kicking goals. That's what he's doing at the moment, and that's the aspect that's shining.
Plays really deep as well. And there was we know how good he is overhead. We've talked about his leap, but there was one time in particular he got an opponent's shoulders. Might have given away a free kick for an unrealistic attempt, but certainly does try his best to produce the highlight reel worthy moments. Joe Berry at ground level was one who probably didn't have the scoreboard impact he has in previous weeks. He definitely kicked at least one, might have kicked a couple, but he kicked two. Yeah, so he's clean at ground level, and that was a big component. I thought he was good front and centre.
What do you think of Zayden Lockwood's game? Because I think we've seen a good bit of him in these first 3 weeks. He's locked down some pretty good key forwards, strong hands again, had a really good smother earlier in the game that stopped a shot at goal. Like, things like that, some defensive defensive efforts. What did you make of his game?
He's gritty. He's resilient. I really like that about him. And, yeah, he makes good decisions by way of knowing when to spoil and when to take the intercept mark. He took some intercept marks but was also willing to come off his man and was also willing to lock down when he needed to. Yep. So I think his decision-making when the ball's coming in and he might be one-on-one or even two-on-one, he certainly knows how to assess the situation in D50. And I thought that was on show, particularly in the first half. So, yeah, I did like his game. I thought Max Stobie's kicking efficiency was really good. He linked up well in the forward half. Eden Ibbotson got some midfield minutes. Will Brent spent some time on Isaac Kakko in the first half and also on the wing. Mitch Lloyd played at fullback. Jordan Doherty followed up well in the ruck, showed his quick hands and was good aerially, finished with the goal.
That's all the country players I have, to be honest. So if
I think the other one just worth touching on is the ability of James Barrett to stand tall. He kicked a couple of goals, probably didn't have a heap of touches, but wouldn't have lost a contest all day. So he would be the only other one worth touching on from the perspective of country. We'll move to Metro now, starting with Massimo Razzo, who is probably, if he's going to get a look at the next level, it's going to be as a small forward. Let's not sugarcoat it. He's 170 centimetres and, you know, that is always going to be a prohibitive factor or a talking point when it comes to him. But got some midfield minutes, got some minutes on the wing. And we always talk about his cleanliness, but I thought his kicking was really good and he got through traffic really well.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a lot to add nor disagree to what you've said there. I think it's a matter of him just showing he's productive and that there is a role for him on the footy field. So interested to see if he does make this final squad. It's whether the role is needed for him, but I'm glad that he was still productive in this trial. He's at least put his hand up pretty well.
I'll let you talk about how good Isaac Kakko's goal kicking and tackle pressure was.
Yeah, we only played the first half and he kicked
four goals.
Hold on. I don't know why I didn't put the time of the first quarter. He kicked two goals by the fifth minute of the first quarter, but I don't know why I didn't put the third goal down. But
four goals. Yeah. He finished with four.
Did he finish with four?
Finished with four.
Oh, yeah, nice snap for four. I don't know why I didn't put the time down. Yeah, just pressure forward. And
got high.
Yeah, he was able to get high as well. And I'm glad he's kind of nailed down that forward role, that it's there. When he gets put there, he'll do it to perfection. And it's really just still establishing this higher up role, and he got to do it and he was productive. And, yeah, four goals and 50 minutes of footy, and it was obviously in less than that for him. So
absolutely
can't complain. He was probably, if you know, he plays
the full game,
he's ending with six or seven.
So at least, Jack Ryan was potent on transition and played that high half forward role really well. He was really efficient and created space not only for himself but for his teammates.
Yeah, and good follow-up efforts, I thought, as well. There was just some moments where he might not get his hands on the footy, but he'll follow up a turnover or chase down, just little things like that. Really loved with his game.
Tom Burton, I thought, was really good. He provided a lot of overlap and run. Obviously went off with a groin injury late in the second, early in the third quarter. But it was a good game from him. Charlie Rosine's finished with the five goals, all coming in the second half after starting on the wing. So he's one who works really hard and will play some school footy now, but new to the Sandy Dragon system, or first year in the system. And yeah, he's one that's coming quite quickly.
Yeah, well, three games and getting a trial and doing that doesn't hurt at all. And we know the Dragons will probably get a few extra make this squad given the depth they have. And we know they just got a bit more – that sounds bad, but they are a bit more talented than the rest of the comp. And we've seen that. They have that natural talent around that area. So, yeah, interested. It was a pretty big performance. When you have a performance like that, you can't – like, it's hard to be overlooked, but you obviously have to take into account everything they've done so far.
Absolutely. What do you think of the quarter duo, Damon Hollow, whose kicking efficiency was very good, and Nash King, who was very good in the clinches?
Yeah, they work well together, and I love to see them back at quarter level. They kind of just do what the other doesn't in terms of King's got that real super contested, bullish nature to him, and he's really productive in that sense where we'll win it out of the contest, provide that outlet. And off you go. And I thought that he did that all day again, sort of hand in hand with Cody Anderson, who we'll touch on later as well. And then Damon Hollow, you know, what King doesn't do, he provides that burst out of the stoppage, that real quick entry inside 50. And had some really good lower in the eyes moments, found some good entries. So, yeah, liked the way both of them went about it.
Cody Anderson's been dubbed last week the Beast from the East by the Young Stars podcast, I think I want to call it. I'll give them a shout out because that's a very good nickname and one that I hope sticks with him for the next decade, because that's exactly what he is, from the eastern suburbs, from Healesville. But yeah, he was terrier-like, just built on what he's shown in the first month, tackle, speed, hunt, strength.
One I want to bring up is Xavier Kadachi from the Western Jets, who admittedly probably should have noticed him more in these first 3 weeks, how impactful he has been. But I really did notice him on the weekend, the way he moves around the contest. He seems to be everywhere the ball is, which is obviously a midfielder's role, but in the sense that you felt his presence every time the ball was there, and he was always that really lively option. He was just really clean with his hands and his kicking, just runs to really good spots. But yeah, just a neat player that I think should be rewarded, to be honest. I think the first 3 weeks he's put up, plus this trial game, I think it'd be harsh to overlook him the way he's gone about it. He really just ticks all boxes in terms of what he needs to do to be productive as that, you know, key mid.
The only question I'd have is, how do you find a spot for him in the midfield?
Yeah, which
and
is,
he shown enough versatility to be played off half-back, half-forward, yes, or anywhere else? But a great story. We're speaking to the Western Jets coach, Trent Dennis-Lane, about him last week, and he was just absolutely rapt with the work ethic that he's shown, been really inspiring for the other Jets boys, taken a minute off his time trial, added a lot of strength, and has really put his head down in pre-season from being a fringe sort of half-forward to being someone who has the fitness to play on the ball, really improved his conditioning. So he's one who was arguably the best outside of Grego of the Jets boys. But certainly I think the Western Jets overall had a really good account of themselves when you think about Luca Grego, who was arguably best on ground in his game, Xavier Kadachi, who was so good when he's moved into the midfield, Tom Burton showed some signs, Massimo Razzo was very, very good, and Keaton Martifi Forbes kicked four goals. So yeah, another one we need to touch on is Charlie Richardson. I thought it was the complete centre-half forwards game, finished with two goals, took a series of marks, both those goals coming in the first quarter, one of those from outside 50, and yeah, was able to empty out, showed what he was able to do at ground level. There was one moment where he got a front and center as well. I'd love to see a bit more of that from him because he's obviously not a big, big key forward.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a nice component of his game. But certainly, yeah, did what he should have done overhead, and it's the best I've seen him all year. You obviously saw him against Tassie, which is the best performance he's played in the first 3 weeks for Oakley.
Yeah, well, all I'll add to that is he was just deadly accurate. Like,
yep,
you know, two set shots that, yeah, you said it. I mean,
yeah.
They were two set shots that weren't hard, you know, like tight angle, kind of near on the 50, the actual 50 number, you know, if you know where that is on the field, kind of thing. Like tough shots. So yeah, really impressed with that. One I'll touch on, Tom Wenzel.
Like
to hear what you thought about his game, and spent a lot of time in the forward half of the ground, and that's where he was really productive in the end. Did get on the scoreboard once, but just always seemed on the front foot, ready to attack it. And yeah, I like the way he went about it. Your views?
Yeah, he does have that want to be involved in the contest, and we've seen that in the first 3 weeks for Oakley. Distributes it really well and is another one who's had, like we talked about with Kadachi, a really good block of training, which has sort of culminated in this invitation. And yeah, I did really like what I saw from him. It's just interesting he did it in a slightly different position, but obviously showed the footy smarts that he could do it on the wing and in the forward half as well, finished with one goal, one. And just worth touching on Remy McLean, I was glad to see him take a couple of big clunks, and he kicked a couple of goals as well. And also good to see Seth McDonald get the invite. I thought that was really heartening given he suffered the untimely concussion. Got better as the game went on, I thought, playing on the wing, but obviously really tough when it's your first game back and, you know, it's a bit of a baptism of fire. But that probably sums it up from a boys' perspective. So we'll move on to the girls now, and we saw Dandenong versus Oakley on Friday night with Oakley getting up by 50 points at Shepley Oval. I thought Maggie Marnie was the best performer, and she did it from the first siren. But I'll get your thoughts firstly from an Oakley perspective. Who caught your eye?
Yeah, well, they're a level above, aren't they?
That's
It's going to be a tough task to beat them, and we'll preview the next round. But they've got Eastern next up, and I'm telling you, if they're going to beat Eastern by like any more than five goals, this competition is just Oakley all year.
Yeah.
But, I think you'd be harsh not to start on Marnie, really, the way she went about it in the end. Just such a clean distributor, quick hands, doesn't fumble under pressure. But you couldn't fault the way she went about it. And especially, I mean, Oakley are so well drilled that they get the best out of each girl. And you do notice that someone like Marnie just knows where to work in transition and where to be effective in that sense. Yep. So, yeah, couldn't fault her game.
And I thought, yeah, she got to really good positions behind the ball to take some intercept marks as well. Sana Bakar, who I know you have a bit more of an insight to than what I do, was one who really caught the eye. I think she finished with the 23 disposals, but overall a really good showing from her.
Well, I'll give a bit of background on her. So Sana Bakar, so S-A-N-N-E, Sana. Yep. That's a pronunciation with it. So she's 19 years old, so... Saw her stats last week, and I was like, geez, pretty good. Must be a bottom eight. She's 19. So it's actually that was her first game last week, and it was her second this week. She had 21 touches last week, but she came through local footy midway through last year and was on the Chargers list, but was just training during the season for them. She's only ever played, including these two games now, 12 games in her whole footy career. So 12 games, nothing at all. She's a middle distance national runner. That's her background. And yeah, real willingness to compete. She can play as an inside mid. She's a natural tackler and really good ball mover. So,
got to say, if she's a middle distance runner and she's a natural tackler, like that's a pretty good combination to have, because you think about runners being your outside players, your wingers, your hard workers, but she's willing to get it done in close as well.
So great story there. Yep. And again, 23 touches on the weekend, 9 tackles reflects that tackle pressure in general, 5 inside 50s, 2 rebound 50s. So, great story to start the year and be interested to keep an eye on her as the year goes on. But I'll pass back to you.
Yeah, a couple of other Oakley Chargers just to touch on before we move to the Stingrays. I thought Sarah Pousty's tackle pressure is something we always talk about with her, but she showed it again on the weekend. And Emily Gladman, when the game was up for grabs in the first quarter, she was the one that really won it for Oakley. Had 3 scoring shots, had a really nifty start inside 50, got to really good positions. And if she wasn't taking marks, she was certainly getting to the fall of the footy.
Oh, and I'll finish with 3 more. Emma McDonald did Emma McDonald things, really. Just strong inside 50 and got her hands on it. Also, held her width well, I thought. When the ball went to ground, she doesn't just go in for it. She held her width well and was able to get a few touches out of just waiting for that moment. And I thought that was really good. Sienna Talaridi, we know what she's going to provide and did well last week in the AFLW Academy, but really good composure through traffic.
Yep.
And that vision to open the ground up is terrific. And then Chloe Brewer, really good kicking.
Charlotte Brewer,
sorry, my bad. And great breaking speed, I thought, off halfback as well. So that's my wrap for Oakley and Dandenong.
And just to touch on a couple of Dandenong girls, Kayla Dalgleish and Gemma Reynolds had moments, but they'll get better as the season goes on. They'll certainly have better games. I thought one that I really liked was Jemaya Brezen. She was a winger last year, got put in some centre stoppages, and I thought she really held her own, showed her breakaway speed in that position. Mizuki Brothwell showed her drive out of defence, a really cool story. She's one who has Japanese heritage, played in the multicultural game last year. Pretty similar story to Sana Bakar in some ways in her newness to the game. Last year was her first year playing footy from a netball background at representative level, and she played in a Balnarring team that made it to the grand final. And she's got a twin sister as well, Nalu Brothwell, who also played and showed some nice things as well. And Matilda Argus was one whose late defensive efforts I thought was really good and emblematic of what Dandenong want to stand for in terms of playing out the four quarters. We'll move now to the Northern Knights against the Eastern Rangers, and Stacia Stevenson, who's one that they sort of put on the map last week, despite not having as good a game as some of the others. She was certainly there or thereabouts and did produce this week, playing that high half forward role. She got plenty of the footy, didn't get caught in between, and laid 8 tackles. Taylor McMillan, we know what she can do in terms of her power in the midfield, but she also laid the 6 tackles, so a good two-way performance from her. And Evie Parker continued her strong first fortnight of the season. I'll throw to you to talk about Bendigo and Calder, a big upset in this one with Bendigo getting the job done.
Hey, big upset for you, maybe.
Yeah, perhaps.
I tipped this. I'm so glad I tipped it. Yeah, I bet it was an upset in terms of the country teams really struggle to beat metro teams. So this is a really big win, I think, for country football as well, that they can stack it now. Like, they begin to really stack it against the metro team. So it's really good to see. I mean, I'll start from a quarter perspective quickly, and Chloe Baker-West, 37 touches. If Ash Centra didn't, have 100 touches, and Chloe Baker-West would be at the top of this list again. 9 inside 50s and 3 rebound 50s from that. So so productive. And Jade McClay, who absolutely loved from the first moment she stepped on the field last year in a 16-year-old year. One goal, 29 touches. Can't complain there. But from the Bendigo perspective, a few girls who really stood out in the first week, Lucia Painter, who we've kind of always – she's always been on that radar. She's one of the top players in the country region, and that's not even mentioning the country. She was in that AFLW Academy game, but made a really big statement with her marking, and that's something she's been working on in the off season. She's so strong in and around the contest, and they've got a little more depth now, Bendigo. They're able to provide her with some good outlets. She's not sort of relying to go in herself and win that ball herself. She's got really good depth now to surround her, and it's great to see. Sienna Hobbs, really good leadership up forward, great forward target throughout the day, and was taking some good marks, and that was really similar to Lexi Gregor, who the two had very similar games, really just a strong marking ability, providing a real presence on the field, and she's got that height, Lexi Gregor, so really intrigued to see how the rest of her season goes, but she's really well-rounded, great work rate as well. And let me get the first name just so I don't say a wrong first name again. Got the last name, but I don't want to mess up another. Bear with me. Jada Lockwood. There we go.
Yep.
Jada Lockwood's the last one I want to talk about. Played a win forward rotation, but was super quick. Really fit and fast. She's a bottom major for the Bendigo Pioneers. So exciting times up there because we know they struggled last year. So really exciting to see that started their win off well, and we were quietly going through their fixture last week and we're like, well, they could get off to a really good start.
They do have a gentle start to the season, certainly. Gippy got their season off to a winning start as well over Murray. They won at 87-0, I believe. Murray had some players out with the GWS Academy trials last weekend, so that sort of weakened them, but still a disappointing showing from Murray. But Gippy... clearly, the story of this game is Ash Centra, whose stats line is ridiculous. 47 disposals, 26 contested possessions, 7 clearances, 5 contested marks, 4 goals. It was game-breaking. She was the clear standout. Every time she got the ball in her hands, she was efficient. She looked for a target. She hit her targets. They weren't hack kicks. They were proper possessions. She was really clean. She was one touch. And the big thing that the Gippy Power were really pleased with was her defensive buy-in. She laid 4 or 5 tackles, but some of those other efforts were really, really positive from all accounts. She was willing to run both ways, which is something she's been working on in the off-season. Obviously, we know what she can do with ball in hand, but if she can add that extra layer to her game, it's going to be really hard to overlook her at the top of draft boards. So that's something that she did really well. And you consider that she had 47 possessions and still did that well, and that was the most pleasing aspect. It was a perfectly rounded game from Ash Centra. And then just a couple of others worth touching on. Abby Hobson and Addie Howe were both really good targets up forward from all reports. Addie Howe, the sister of Harvey Howe, came through the Gippsland Power system a couple of years ago. She kicked 1 goal 1 and took 7 marks, has really developed that aerial presence in the off-season. And Ava Desch finished with 14 disposals, and as a double bottom major, still has plenty of development left. They were really pleased with what she provided, while Jazz Soden, her first half really set it up for the Gippsland Power. She was one who was really good in tight. We know what she can do in tight. Her defensive stuff was really impressive as well. She finished with a game-high number of tackles, and she also, when she got it on the outside, she was one who was hitting targets as well. So we know her kicking efficiency is a big part of her game, but her decision-making and her IQ were also quite important in the context of Gippy going 1-0 to start the season. So she showed her competitiveness playing alongside sister Taylor. Move on to the last game now. Weston going down to the Sandringham Dragons with Mia Zielinski. There's clear storyline, kicking 5 goals 2.
Before we move, you know what you miss with Ash Centra? The one hit out. That is the stat that matters. The one hit out somehow.
She did contest some ruck contests in the forward 50, as sort of that pinch hitting ruck.
There we go. Yeah. I've never seen that's. She's actually had the most rounded game you'll ever see, where she's pretty much ticked off every stat. Yes, but back to Sandy Weston. The Dragons got their first win of the year, and they got up by 16 points against the Jets, 57-41. This was on Sunday afternoon. But yeah, Mia Zielinski, 5 goals. She really does need to have a big start to the year, and that's the way to kick it off. Mm-hmm. We know she's spending time at Box Hill, so she'll mix, you know, mix her time between there. But 5 goals is massive for her to really establish herself as that real key power forward. She's got that raw strength and that ability to burst off and lead well. And it's, you know, 7 scoring shots in the end from 16 touches. So she was nearly at 50%.
Yep.
was a scoring shot. So I'm great to see that from her, and I'm hoping that continues. Scout Howden, 21 touches, along with Daisy Flockard, who are both prolific ball winners, and they're really smart footballers as well, and that'll show as the season goes on. A good bounce back against Eastern as well. They went down by 40 points last week, so good to bounce back this week. And Sophie Mackay, probably a quieter game for her. If you say 17 touches is a quiet game for her, but laid the pressure with 5 tackles. And if you go to Sandy's Instagram, you'll see this a reel of Mia Zielinski. And every time, without doubt, Sophie Mackay is jumping like midair to hug someone. Yep. It's quite funny. Go to watch that reel if you can. But, 4 inside 50s. And, Howden and Flockard as well with their inside entries were really effective as well. From a Western perspective, Sierra Greaves comes back and dominates. 2 goals, 31 touches.
11 tackles.
11 tackles, massive, and 10 inside 50. So she's that workhorse for the Jets. And there will be a lot of reliance on her during the year, but it is still good to see her playing such productive footy. Lulu Field as well, 14 touches, where it was up the top end for the Jets in that one. So I'll quickly give a ladder and we'll go into our tips for the girls. And there's just a touch of boys, but the Chargers and Rangers lead proceedings, and it feels like we're back to where we left off. Gippy, Falcons, Bendigo, Northern, Sandy, all with a win. Tassie, Western, Calder, Rebels, Dandenong and Murray all looking for their first win, but not a lot of games being played. So we'll go to tips for the girls, and we start on Saturday, Gippsland and Sydney at Shepley Oval. Hard to predict because we don't know what Sydney's academy is like, but I'll always give the talent league team the benefit of the doubt. I'll go Gippy.
And I'll go Sydney. They're generally pretty good. I think they're going to be pretty good this year.
Calder and Sandy at Highgate. Calder still looking for their first win of the year. I think Sandy probably just edges one in the end.
Yeah, agree.
Dandenong and Geelong. This one does have a location now. It didn't when we looked last time, so that's Seaford. This will be really competitive, I think. I think we'll learn a lot about Geelong in this one and how they stack up to another top team. I think Dandy will bounce back, so I'll tip a close one in this one.
Kiara Woods / Hayley Peck against Talia Black and Zoe Basenko in the ruck is a matchup to watch. Yeah. I reckon the Dandenong Stingrays get up.
Northern and GWV at Preston City Oval. Yeah, Northern should be 2-0 if you look at the way they've been. Well, sorry. Yes, 2-0 as they won their first game, but they were up 33-8 against Eastern, who we know we both predicted to go pretty deep. So they should get this done.
Yep, agree.
GWS and Tassie, this one's in New South Wales. Again, hard, but Tassie.
Yep, agree.
Oakley and Eastern on the Sunday, the match of the round in terms of
grand. Give a best on ground as well for this one.
Oh, best on ground. You didn't know. This is out of nowhere. You can't look past Maggie Marnie in the form she's been. I reckon she'll produce again. Look, this game will tell us a lot about how far away Oakley are from the rest of the competition. That's the honesty there. So I think they'll do it by how much. I'm intrigued to see.
Oakley and Sarah Pousty, Georgie Brisbane to go well for the Eastern Rangers.
And then to finish the round off, Bendigo and Western Jets. Bendigo have the chance to beat 2 Metro teams, and that could be the first time, like in their girls, being a girls team. Like, that's a big achievement if they can get it done. And I think they will. So Bendigo to go 2-0.
Yeah, and their boys program going well as well. So they could be 5-0 to start the season cumulatively. Yeah, I'll back the Pyros as well. To the boys now,
Gippsland. 3 games, yeah.
Gippsland playing Sydney. I'm going to back Gippsland in this one.
Gippsland as well. Similar GWS and Tassie. Tassie.
Yep,
Tassie. Going off nothing. We did this last year. Western Jets and NT. It's the closest to get the margin. Because unless NT do come out and with a different team.
Yeah, you go first.
Jets by 108.
Jets by 109.
No, I'm challenging you. Give me an actual genuine prediction.
That's my genuine prediction.
Oh, that's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. That's ridiculous. I hope they win by 107.
And I hope that who's a player that I hope plays well? Well, you've got Young Guns next week, so yeah, there's going to be some players out. Tarja Safiri will play, so hopefully he'll play well.
There we go. But that wraps
some
it up.
Some driver halfback. Yep.
That wraps it up. We will be having a break next week, so there will be no podcast, but we will come back and have a whole heap to talk about. Like you said, the two Young Guns games will be played over the next two weekends. By the time we come back, there'll be the Academy that would have played Footscray that weekend. A lot of girls' talent league, but tune into our socials. We will still be covering it just via socials this week. Once again, thank you to Radio Carrum for letting us use this studios. Head to radiocarrum.org for more information on how to come here, access these studios and use these terrific facilities. That's all for now. Thank you all for watching and we will see you next week.